you know, the tennis club came out and helped mum pick, they were growing pumpkins at that time, and they all came out and helped pick the pumpkins, and there was a real sense of community support just after it happened. But then I think it was one of those things where, yeah, just it fizzled out, I guess, and people, you know, they don't know what to say, and it just, it feels like, yeah, people don't like to talk about it, I guess. To me, there is a big stigma around still about suicide, and it's not talked about enough, and I don't even talk about it enough.
Do you avoid describing how your father died? Because it obviously comes up, you know, all the time that, oh, no, my dad passed away. Do you tell people, or do you feel like the stigma is too strong?
Yeah, absolutely. I do avoid it, but not because I don't want to talk about it, just because I think the other person will sort of feel sorry for me, or they'll feel bad, or that they might judge Dad, or they might judge me. Yeah, so I definitely avoid saying how he died. But, you know, I've seen so many examples of where people who have personal lived experiences can make a really big difference, and so I really feel like there is that opportunity for me to do that, because I am quite comfortable to talk about it. And, like, you know, you see what Rosie Batty's done with domestic violence just because of her amazing personal experience and things like that. But it really does help other people, I think, if you can relay that experience and talk about it openly.
Yeah, and look, inevitably you're going to be thinking about it for a large portion of your life and trying to unravel it. How would you describe the support systems or the understanding of mental illness in your father's community?
I would say there's still quite a big lack of understanding. That's my sense. I mean, I have had people say to me, people who've forgotten about what's happened to Dad, you know, I'll hear them say things like, oh, it's so cowardly, and it's, you know, why would anyone do that? How could they leave their kids? Those sort of comments. It's not at all cowardly. That's sort of irrelevant, really. It's got nothing to do with it, because, I mean, if you're at that point, you're just really, really sick, you know. And so I understand it as just being that it's a complete illness. Yeah, that's just
like a cancer is, you know, we talk
absolutely.
About.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's exactly how I would describe it. And I would love to think that we can get to the point in our society where we talk about it like that. You know, it's a cancer, it's an illness. It's just the same. You know, if you have a mental illness, it's like you have cancer.
If you look back at the situation after your mum explained it, do you feel like there should have been or could have been more supports around?
To me, the biggest problem is people need earlier intervention. I think once Dad was at that point, it's kind of like, you know, it's so hard to help someone at that point. And to me, the biggest issue is that we need to be intervening earlier, and we need to be looking at a lot more prevention, just teaching people about depression and how to recognise the signs and go and get help early. You know, I mean, I late last year, I was having quite a down patch, and so I just went straight to the doctor and said, look, this is how I'm feeling. I might be just paranoid, but I just want to do something about it now and nip it in the bud, you know, and that's what I would love to see most people doing. Even if you think you're overreacting, just get that early intervention happening and go and see someone.
It sounds like you're not as much campaigning or speaking up for more services. You feel like it really is the stigma that's holding a lot of people back from even seeking the services that are there.
Yeah, absolutely, because you can go and see the GP. Like, you know, most people are comfortable to go and see their doctor. So that reducing that stigma and just getting people to feel comfortable to talk about it and to just be, you know, feel comfortable to go and see their doctor and talk about it early.
How do you feel about this faceless, anonymous kind of online community that Ripple Effect is aiming to create?
Look, I think it's going to be really difficult, and I'm really interested to see how it goes, but it is a really good opportunity too, because maybe it's just that easier access. It might be easier for them to do that than to go and see a doctor. And look, if nothing else, it's getting the talk happening, you know, it's getting people talking about it, and that's the most important thing to me, is just having these conversations.
If you hadn't heard about it, would you go into a community, an online community like that, and talk to other people?
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. To me, that's another part of it, actually. There isn't really places. Like, I mean, just recently there was a young girl from up here whose father died from suicide as well, and I just happened to run into her, and I don't know her at all, but I knew what had happened, and I just wanted to jump over the counter and give her a big cuddle and say, you know, I understand, you know.
Did you?
Sort of. No, I didn't.
Because?
I just didn't feel comfortable, you know, that I knew her, because I didn't know her well enough. But, you know, I've thought about it a lot since then, and I wish that I had. And I just think maybe this, you know, the online forum, people are a lot more willing to share their stories on, you know, we know from Facebook and all those sorts of things that people do share a lot more. So I think it could be a real comfort to a lot of people.